Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Nicole Danielle, who'll be telling us about her presentation for the university's Accessibility Awareness Day. So, can you tell me a little bit about your role in Accessibility Awareness Day?
Yes, thanks, Cam.
Of course.
I am so grateful to be able to present my passion for yoga at this year's Accessibility Awareness Day and how I share yoga with everyone in the community and how we make it accessible within the University of Windsor.
So, how do you plan on relaying the message to the university base?
Myself and Sandra Andraka, who is the campus recreation overseer, she runs the show there tremendously well, and she has been a supporter of my work over the years. Within the university, I've been teaching there now for 10 years within Campus Rec. And Sandra has also known that I teach modified and assisted yoga classes within the community. She has helped to make efforts to not only promote that within the university, that I can modify classes right there within the Campus Rec classes, and to welcome everyone into that. They promote a great deal of that accessibility within Campus Rec. So some of the talk is about that accessibility within campus recreation. And she'll also let me take the platform a bit and discuss how I teach it throughout the community. For example, you know, at Harmony in Action and John McGivney, and just to let people know, you know, and the classes I teach at Maryvale, to let people know that yoga and the techniques of not only the physical poses, but the concentration, the relaxation, the detoxification, the movement, the strengthening, the flexibility, all of it together is accessible to everybody with some support, with some modification, but that is going to be basically what our discussion is about, and we hope to give a little bit of demonstration. I will be showing a few techniques, discussing a few techniques I use, and hopefully getting the audience's participation for a little bit of it so they can see, you know, how we modify within a seated position right in a chair, so simulating, you know, what someone can do in a wheelchair, for example, and just kind of have some fun with that. So that will be our presentation.
So do you anticipate any challenges in preparing the lecture itself?
Ooh, I'm just hoping I can get my PowerPoint presentation to Sandra in time, because there's deadlines, you know, for all of these submissions. So it's just been an exciting time getting the momentum going for it. There's been tremendous response about the day itself, I'm so excited and honored to be at this presentation where Dr. Temple Grandin is our keynote speaker. The people I've told about the day are very excited about that. And I know that registration, I think within the first 2 days, there was 200 registrants. So it's really excellent. I know this is year 5. I know you spoke last year. Your show keeps everyone aware. I just think it's a really awesome time. You know, I've written several plugs or articles for the online, you know, campus, different online sites, social media. It gets plugged. It's great that there's momentum about getting awareness about at the university and within Windsor, Essex. So it's a great day, and I'm very excited about it. Sandra and I are on at 11, and that's right after Dr. Temple Grandin, who starts at 9.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for a day like this, for greater awareness, what would you say?
If I could say something to the community about the need for this day?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I think it's speaking for itself. I just feel that there's a wave going on. I'm not alone in this sea. There's many people who are doing really amazing things. You know, a few years back, I came in and spoke to the music therapy students at the university about the modified classes. I do a little bit of vocal and drumming, rhythm. I do a few things like that. So there's awareness and knowledge and lots of people doing really amazing things in all aspects for mental disabilities. You know, I've been part of studies. There just seems to be a great wave and a great like support system. I hope that the community at large senses that, and if things aren't so unknown, things are right up in our face, and it's great.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you, Cam.
Now, in the next segment of our show, a returning appearance by past guest Carly Rock, who's talking a little bit about her educational experiences as a person with a disability.
A little bit about your experiences in second year CIC.
Second year is a little different than first year. First year is kind of like, okay, I'm new to college. This is a whole new experience. It's kind of like first day of school, and so glad to meet everybody. Second year, I was kind of like, this is my last year. What am I going to do for the next year in my life? This is a whole new experience, whole new ballgame.
So, as a person with a disability being here at the college, have you found the supports to be especially helpful?
Can I get that question again?
Have you found the supports for you as a student with a disability have been especially helpful?
Oh, it's been more than helpful. You get all the supports you need. You get phenomenal help with, like, if you need, like, extra help with, like, studies, you're more than welcome to, like, have extra time on your tests, like, your assignments, everything. If you need help with, like, personal issues, there's like round the clock like support or from not just like the teachers but from like the students you're surrounded with.
So have there been any challenges with your education?
Yes, there is, because you're trying to like keep up with everybody you're surrounded with like your regular classes, as trying to prove to yourself like you're not just like a person in this like special program. You're also, like, just like everybody else.
So what's been the greatest success moment you've experienced in your time here?
Greatest success moment would probably just, like, being part of this program in general. Like, without this program, I probably wouldn't be in St. Clair. Or I'd probably be, like, in the real world. And I've been in the real world, like, previous year before I got accepted into St. Clair. And let me... It's not, like, all sunshine and rainbows and puppy dog tails. It's actually, like, nitty-gritty.
So, what are your next steps transitioning forward?
My next steps is to, like, graduate and hopefully find a job.
So, would you see yourself coming back and doing more education?
Probably not. This is my last stop, hopefully. Education-wise, I'm probably going to find a job and probably find an apartment soon before I turn, like, 30.
So, if you could send any message to students with disabilities about the need to further their education, what would you say?
I say come to the Community Integration for Cooperative Education program here in St. Clair College. It is a tremendous program. I recommend it to anyone. And with a person with a disability, it's an amazing program. Without this program, I wouldn't be able to say I go to St. Clair College. And pretty much that is it. It's tremendous. I made so many friends here. And it's opened my mind to a world of possibilities. And that is it.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you for offering me another chance to be on your show.
My pleasure.
Yes.
Education remains paramount, not just for individuals with disabilities, but for the community around them. The fact of the matter is, the more we know about disability life, the more we allow ourselves to recognize the equality of these good people, the more progress we make as a people and as a society. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Campus Pride Center is a safe, supportive space where members of the LGBTQ+ community and their allies are welcome. All identities are validated and respected. The center aims to foster a community grounded in empathy and support, to prioritize mental and physical well-being, and to empower youth through education. The Campus Pride Center's core values include diversity, safety, empathy, and education. Visit us on the second floor in Dillon Hall in room 252. And stay up to date with events on our Facebook page at facebook.com/campuspridectr.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Nicole Danyeau about the upcoming Accessibility Awareness Day, and Carly Rock about her experiences as a student with a disability. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Ronan Pomerang about Karate for Progress. So, what can you tell me about Karate for Progress?
Well, it's a small program, something I started, I guess, in a few months. It'll be 7 years ago. Part-time, something that seemed like basically matching martial arts and my behavior therapy background to put something together and deliver to, as it turns out, primarily kids with autism. But I do serve and teach all kinds of people with a range of disabilities and special needs. It seemed like a great idea. It seemed like more and more friends and family were asking me about any options I might have known because, again, I had a background many years ago as a behavior therapist, and I just couldn't find any. So why not start something? So it started as a very small thing, and it's grown over 7 years to something that is very hard for me to handle at the moment, which is both good and bad, I guess. But... the program develops. It gets a great reputation. It continues to grow. The results, and again, primarily the kids that I'm seeing, are fantastic. It's great fun. It's a great challenge. it's certainly very demanding. But it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad I started it.
So in terms of the kids with autism, what sort of effect does the karate program have on them?
Oh, my goodness. Confidence helps them emotionally regulate, balance, fitness. They learn practical self-defense, which unfortunately some will need to use as the years go by, and some have used, as I found out over time. Again, in minor situations, but still, it was very important to them at the moment. Balance, learning how to breathe properly, learning how to play together, impulse control, getting over certain touch and noise sensitivities, or at least to some degree. The list actually really goes on. It's wonderful.
So do you use any modified teaching techniques when it comes to these particular students?
Of course. I laugh only because, I mean, the way I teach is this. It's not a group class. I work in primarily semi-private classes. So classes are usually like 3 to 5 kids or, you know, youth or adults max. Usually matched for, you know, developmental and functional type of reasons. And there is a lot of one-on-one with me and then sitting down, one-on-one with me sitting down until they get up to a certain level. Each student presents its own, his or her own challenges. So it's really up to me very much on the fly to kind of figure out where I can push, where I can pull, where I need to be careful, where my window is to try to grab an attention or engage better or pull something more out of them. There are many, many, many different things happening in the moment. Lots of creativity, lots of things that I got to try and just see what happens. So yeah, as a general rule, there's a tremendous amount. But as the students kind of move along, we get into more group stuff, and that's when, you know, let's say a class of 3 can expand to a class of 5, for example. I hope that answers your question.
So, in your time with Karate for Progress, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Many. But maybe just recently I can share the story of a girl who we worked privately for a while. She didn't want to join a class for a variety of reasons. She had lots of difficulty with sleep, lots of difficulty with school. She was 13. Confidence, anger, a family member that was close to her had died around the time that she had joined. So she was having a really rough time. Her parents were great, sweet girl. But she would come in often exhausted or really emotionally not ready for a class. She'd push through. Her parents would encourage it and strongly. And over time, she became a leader at school from someone who was socially awkward and, shy. And she's much better with her emotional regulation. We built a personal rapport, so there was a type of mentoring happening because she was much more highly functioning. It was wonderful. She got a leadership award at school, which kind of brought a tear to my eye. It was great. It was great. And, of course, her karate was continually improving. Yeah, that was a great moment.
So if you could send any message about the need for a program such as this, what would you say?
There is tremendous demand. There's a tremendous need. I know what the martial arts have given me in my own personal life, which is really why I started this thing. Really just as something small on the side, just for fun. I didn't realize where it was going to go. The need is huge. The benefits are huge. I've never seen anyone not get some type of benefit. It was only a question of how much and how quickly. And often, you know, over the years, students have come through the program, gotten to a certain level, moved on to, like, quote-unquote, regular classes because of their ability to now handle it. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of the martial arts in general for anyone. way more so for, again, for people with disabilities, special needs. Huge need, huge benefits, no side effects. It's all good.
So how does the community typically respond to your program?
I'm very happy to say beautifully. They always ask me to start more classes in different parts of the city. I'm looking for people to work with me. Very, very hard to find the right person. But yeah, if I could train instructors and, you know, spread them around the city, the demand is there. People are really happy. It's a great thing overall.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Pleasure.
Today, folks, it all comes down to education. Whether it be in the martial arts, yoga, accessibility awareness, or just education in general, every person with a disability has the same right to learn and to develop and to contribute to society in the same way as any able-bodied person. However, there may be modified teaching techniques. So what? No two people learn exactly the same way, or think exactly the same way, contribute exactly the same way. If you find the right method for reaching a person with a disability, they will apply their talents, their capabilities, to achieve great things. Yeah, like anyone else in society, it is about their interests and what they ultimately want to do. But recognizing their potential, their capability, is what it's all about. And especially for kids with autism going into this karate program. Fact is, martial arts, physical training can work wonders for them. They can ultimately end up being more focused, more communicative, and just more well-rounded people. The confidence you gain from having education and knowing your own skill is not isolated. It's not in a capsule. It's not, oh, I'm good in this area of my life, but I'm still afraid to express who and what I am in another area. No. That confidence, it builds. And it's cumulative. It spills out into other areas of your life in ways you don't even realize. You start with something like yoga or karate or getting just a decent education. Start with that. Before you know it, you recognize that you are a potential capable person. Where once before the world had seemed hopeless, you start to understand that there are possibilities. There are adaptations that can be made. Disability life is all about thinking in new ways, my friends. It's all about taking what we consider impossible, turning it on its face and saying, I can either accept that this is perceived impossible, I can either live with that bias, or I can be that someone who challenges it. Person who says, I dare to try. I dare to see if this can be done. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HANDILINK, the numeral 4, at gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. It's things like Karate for Progress. The community is always hungry for more. They're always asking, what's the next step? What's the next innovation? And really, finding that out, taking that journey, really is one of the greatest joys you can possibly experience. Ronan was quite correct. There is a need for this. There is a great demand. It's simply a matter of someone taking the time, taking the effort to say, I'm going to be a leader in my community. I'm going to start or work with the program that's making this happen. The truth is, It's the small organizations that really have the most heart for this work, because they're the ones out there recognizing that people with disabilities aren't just some statistic somewhere. They're people with hopes, dreams, even talents that must be recognized, nurtured, and developed. They're the ones going out and saying, have you had this problem? Have you come up with anything that might be able to help? If you have, can we share that information? Can we work together to build something meaningful for these good people? The key is in knowing where you want to go for individuals with disabilities. Things like accessibility awareness. Create a meaningful forum to discuss what is really impacting people with disabilities, not what we think might be impacting them. Hearing their story, sharing a little bit about their insights, can make so much more progress than just writing a check and saying, here, go out and do something with this. Because it's putting a human face on these matters. It's putting a perspective that says, this has to be addressed. And this is what we found, for better or worse. The gift comes from community, folks. From saying to someone who's been struggling for years with these issues, there is hope. We have found this opportunity, this solution, and it works. For someone who's considered the world hopeless, seeing for the very first time that their child can get out there and learn karate or be educated, changes their whole outlook. The world goes from a cold, hopeless place to one of community and trust and created opportunities. It begins, my friends, with a simple question. Am I willing to work to create an opportunity for this person? Am I willing to be a positive presence in their life? If you can answer yes to that, that's where it starts. Start to shape ideas, possibilities of what can be done for a person with a disability. You start saying, this program should exist. It does not exist. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go out and create it. It might take a lot of work. I might have to reach out to others, but it's worth making happen. The best advice I could possibly give to anybody working to support an individual with a disability is, if you get fired up, if you get that sense that this needs to be done, you're right. Don't let anything or anyone tell you it's impossible, that this can't be created, or it's impractical, or there's no demand in the community. Because the truth is, if there's one person out there affected who we can make things better for, that's worth it. Because if there's one, chances are there are others. And no person anywhere has the right to say to another that your life has no value and you have nothing to contribute. For the fact is, opportunity begets opportunity. You create it for one, and before you know it, you start to change a considerable portion of the landscape. Don't ever lose the fire for that work. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.